It is Monday, It is Monday, November. It is Monday, November 9th.
Well, that first one you did, like the test off the air, was a good one. Do that one.
It is Monday, November.
You came out with real, like, real gusto.
Okay. It is Monday, November 9th, 2015.
Let me do that little drum song.
It is Monday, November 9th, 2015. You are listening to the Death by a Thousand Cuts Fantasy Hockey Podcast.
No, cut. Do it more like it's the Colbert, the Daily Show.
Monday,
your newscaster. Keep your phone.
It's Monday, November 9th, 2015. You're listening to Death by a Thousand Cuts Fantasy Hockey Podcast. And here is your host, Rob Higgins.
That is tremendous.
I've been saving all weekend for that.
Thank you very much. Welcome to our podcast.
Did you hear over the weekend? Apparently, this rookie named Connor McDavid got hurt. So, I don't know if you heard about that.
Oh.
But that was something. If it's on your fantasy hockey,
yeah.
Put him on your bench.
Yeah, I did hear about that.
So, that happened.
That is terrible. And is it a death sentence for that team, David? Are you suggesting perhaps this is news? Of course. No, but Dreisaitl, hashtag Dreisaitl. It's going to be a lousy situation, obviously, for people that own that guy, like Frazier, the guy in our league that has him, and happy for Frazier to get that lottery pick in our league to get the franchise, Connor McDavid. And, you know, looking back on our own podcast, I got to say I feel a little bad for what we said last week. We kind of finished the podcast last week by saying, hey, sorry, Sid, it's the Connor McDavid.
We put the James Brown cape on him.
We put the cape right on him, and, you know.
And then they carried him off on the stretcher.
I know. So, obviously, we have no impact whatsoever on the life of Connor McDavid. But, man, looking back, I kind of wish I hadn't have said that. Moving on, David, the Calgary Flames, let's get it going there. Let's talk some stuff.
Flames this week, they have four games, so if that's any importance, they're playing four games this week. They're all on the road.
Oh, that's right. You were going to have a look at the schedule for us. So why don't you tell us what we got here?
All right, well, the schedule this week, we have four teams with four games. We have Arizona, Calgary, Rangers, and Toronto.
Hold on, back up. Four-game teams, Arizona, Calgary, the New York Rangers, and the Toronto Maple Leafs. All right, so Calgary's sort of interesting. I mean, their first four games played, or their first nine games played, actually, that's backwards. They had, 4 points and 7 points in their last six games played. That's progress. When Brody came back, that seemed to really turn things around. When you do the eye test, I was watching that game and a steadying force there. But really, you know, more than anything, it's probably the goaltending situation. Kari Rahmo, pretty solid in his last couple of starts. So if you're looking for a sneaky play in net, you might want to look at the Calgary Flames, and the disaster that they were has become a pretty good situation. And Kari Rahmo might be... Wow, it's been so grim at the goaltending position. That might be a greasy play right there. Doing the eye test, you got to love what Goudreau has done this year. He's been a beast, David. He's got a lot of points, but he's been better than the 17 points in 15 games he's put up. And Sam Bennett, 8 points in his last six. Another guy that's been pretty sick. If you do the eye test on what's going on there in Calgary, looking rock solid. Backlund actually also looks good here. He's getting some points now. The team's possession numbers going up, David. So Calgary, four games this week. That's interesting. A lot of good stuff going on there. Who else did you mention?
We're also talking about Toronto.
The Leafs. Okay, there's some good stuff going on with the Leafs. Morgan Rielly's been awesome. He's got 8 points in his last nine games. His HFI is up two seasons in a row now. That's a number we're going to use here on the podcast again today. It's a single statistic that looks at the whole fantasy stats pack and gives you a single number to refer to. And we're looking for 1.7s. That's what we want, the most 1.7s wins. And Morgan Rielly, 8 points in his last nine games and putting up a 1.7 HFI, on par with Barry, with Carlson, with Pietrangelo, with Colin Miller in Boston, who we told you not to sleep sleep on and continues to produce with Bufflin. So Morgan Riley hanging with some pretty elite company, David.
Absolutely.
And obviously, as you said, four games this week for the Leafs, so don't sleep on that if he's an option.
No, there's not very many other options on that team, though, but he seems to be one.
And what did you say, the Rangers?
Yeah, Rangers this week, three of them at home.
Three of them at home. I mean, the Rangers, Washington, Pittsburgh, New Jersey, all just dominating that Metropolitan Division. And there are a lot of good options on the Rangers right now. You could look
well,
at
Nash is out, too. So with Nash out, people are getting a little more time, a little more looks as well.
I think a big story there with the Rangers is Kevin Hayes. People were wondering what kind of pace he'd be able to go at this year in the context of a regular season, David. And if you look at his last seven games, he's got 7 points, two power play points, three goals on 18 shots. What he's done through that HFI filter, actually, in those seven games is on par with, like, Patrice Bergeron, with Gallagher, with Marchand, guys that have been pretty successful over the last little while. So Kevin Hayes, the owner of 10 points in 14 games, a 1.6 HFI that seems to be going up. He was a 1.1 last year, so not an option in the regular season, but showed a lot in the playoffs. And here he is so far in the regular season doing fairly well, seemingly having some trajectory, David, and I think he's going to be 1.7 here before too long.
Here's a great opportunity this week to kind of exploit that, even if it's just for a week or two, especially getting four games.
Yeah, if he's available. Don't sleep on the Kevin Hayes file. And what was the last team you mentioned? Sorry to keep asking you.
Oh, no, it was Arizona.
Arizona.
My pleasure.
Arizona, well,
they're going to be playing Anaheim, who seems to be coming up, too. So,
yeah, I got to tell you, there's not much I'm interested in Arizona right now.
No.
Aside from the obvious, you know, Ekman-Larsson or some of those core pieces, Domi, but, you know, I own Duclair. I traded him to you, right?
Correct.
So I wasn't really feeling how that file. I mean, he's going to be a great file, but in the short term, they're going to have their ups and downs. I couldn't really deal. And I have other prospects, which was an area of strength for me, so I was able to do that deal with you. Well, moving on. And I guess since we've already looked at the Metropolitan Division, let's consider some of the other divisions before we get on to some random stuff. The Central Division, kind of ridiculous, obviously, but Dallas, St. Louis, Chicago, just rich with options. Of course, you got Nashville, Winnipeg, Minnesota, all teams that can win pretty much on any night. You got to think, though, when Keith gets back for Chicago, when you have that second line doing what it did most recently, Panarin, of course, Anisimov, and Kane. I mean, David, that line was just lights out. They still don't have that first line going with Toews, Hossa, and Teravainen. You'd have to think at some point Dano's going to get more of a look on that top line, but they still have six that can hurt you.
But yeah, and what we were talking about earlier, and what you're saying is that they're still sitting back and they're waiting until it gets closer to that playoff time.
Well, yeah, you don't really expect this team to be much of it. I mean, they've got holes that are going to need to be dealt with at some point if they expect to climb that same mountain they did. But in terms of fantasy options and finding guys that can produce for you, Hossa has been a bit of an enigma. It's just not happening. But I don't think he's been all that terrible when I've watched him play. You'd have to think, again, that that's going to come around a little bit, and Hossa will be an option. In our league, he's available.
Yep. He's sitting there.
I know everyone's looking at him going, should I or shouldn't I? But in our league, as we've said before, it's a cap league, so people are a little more hesitant to take that chance and drop somebody, that kind of tag, but anyway, Chicago, St. Louis, Dallas, loving those plays in the Central Division. That's where I'd be investing more so than those other ones, Nashville, Winnipeg, Minnesota. In the Pacific, L.A. and Anaheim looking to me like the best plays right now, David. L.A. 8-2 in their last 10 after that 1-3 start. And then Anaheim, of course, 4-0 after a 1-8-2 start. Jake Muzzin, Doughty, both being beasts. Jeff Carter, of course, we'll get into that a little bit later, but Jeff Carter being a monster. He's got, what, 7 goals in his last 9 games. And Toffoli, of course, had 9 in his first 10. Pearson chipping in a little bit. You got Alec Martinez chipping in a bit for L.A. In the Atlantic, it seems it's pretty much Montreal and Boston if you're looking for core pieces to drive your team's production. They have the most happening.
Speaking of this week, though, yeah. Both of those teams have two games.
Montreal and Boston both have two games this week, so if your core is built around those two teams, it might be a slow week for you unless your bench is kick-ass. They are, though, the only teams in the Atlantic Division with more than 5 wins in their last 10. Boston, of course, one of the better stories over the last little while. 6 wins in their last 10. They had 1 in their first 4. The power play still dominating despite the loss of some folks. As we mentioned earlier, Colin Miller, if you still haven't picked up on that and he happens to be sitting out there, grab yourself a Colin Miller. Some other randoms before we get into some HFI stuff, David.
Yep.
Higgins back in Vancouver and producing. He is a streaky player, but he has been known to bury, and he is doing that right now, but he is back. Don't sleep on that. A player that didn't seem to go anywhere, but also appears to be back is David Perron, even earning the coach for some praise, or earning some praise from the coach, excuse me. Ben Hutton in Vancouver, 3 points in his last 4, 7 and 15 now. And from what I was reading about this file, David, he was their best defenseman at camp and enjoying some good results here in the NHL, especially lately. Vancouver a bit up and down, but this is a playoff team in my view. And if he, you know, keeps pointing, you don't want to sleep on the Ben Hutton file. So it's available
Ben
once
Hutton
again.
Is.
Get yourself some Ben Hutton. Lee Stempniak, I saw you play the other night. I can't believe we're still talking about Lee Stempniak, but man, just keeps going. 12 points in 14 games now. He's got 3 in his last 4. I can't believe I'm saying this, but don't sleep on Lee Stempniak. He's with the new look New Jersey Devils. Their young coach, I believe the youngest coach in the league, turning things around for that group. Some offensive production happening for that group. Speaking of coaches, Jeff Blashill, the coach of the Detroit Red Wings, saying this of Andreas Athanasio, recent call-up for the Red Wings, who played 10 minutes in his debut. Quote-unquote, a lethal weapon with that speed. Bottom six look for Athanasio right now, David.
Bless you.
Thank you very much. But don't sleep on that file. If they keep him up and in fact make him the new speed component to that bottom six, look out. I saw him play in the preseason. I could not believe the skills, and that I couldn't also believe that they're going to send a guy like that down. As a Leaf fan, we're so starved for any signs of life that had I seen that in our preseason, I'd be like, make him the captain of the team. Of course, this is probably old news to y'all because you're all so good at what you do out there now, but Mr. Vetrano in Boston, the recent call-up, his coach said of him, he can shoot the puck like there's no tomorrow. And what happens with him in his first weekend in the NHL? 1 goal versus the Montreal Canadiens Saturday, David. 5 shots on goal against the New York Islanders on Sunday. Getting looks with Krejci, one of the best plays in fantasy in the early going. Vetrano!
Pick him up.
Getting it done.
Get him.
While we're with the Bruins, of course, Bolesky up to the Bergeron line. Marchand down to the line with Hayes and Spooner. That's good news for me, David. I got Ryan Spooner, and I need some production. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so, I just dropped Marchand, so it worked out quite well.
Oh, really? Some bombage. Let's get right into some bombage. Drop the hammer on the file you couldn't get away from in the early going. Anton Slepyshev. Maybe some folks out there don't even know about this file, but here in Toronto, everyone I was hanging out with was like, I gotta get that Slepyshev kid from Edmonton. He's playing that. Blah, blah, blah,
big
blah.
Big buzz.
Blah, 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 blah. 1 point in 10 games, 0 goals on 5, a minus 4, 0 special teams points. You got Eberle back. You got Yak and Benny Poles getting it done. You got Drezdo back up in the mix. Good luck getting into the top 6. Bombs away, Anton Slepyshev. Bombs away. I can't believe I'm saying this. Mr. Lindholm.
Oh, Lindholm.
OK. Carolina Hurricane. I thought this was going to be a real play this year, David. 1 goal in 14 games played on 23 shots on goal. Of course, Stahl, Raskin, Versteeg stealing all the Hurricane thunder, if you will.
Oh, Versteeg.
Oh, who would have thunk it that Versteeg would be a better play this year than Lindholm? Not me, that's for sure. Ryan Kesler, I don't want to say you're the problem, but drop the hammer on Ryan Kesler.
You are not the solution.
You're clearly not the solution. 0 goals on 26 shots on goal so far in 14 games played. I think Chris Stewart's been just as good. 3 assists, both of them on the power play, and a minus 10. Of course, a lot of tough assignments thrown this guy's way. So, you know, let's come to his defense.
No.
Screw that. Bombs away. Gonna do something a little different here. I'm gonna drop a bomb on one of the better young defensemen in the NHL. Drop the hammer on Jacob Trouba. Look, he's a beast, but you got Perreault playing the point on the top power play with Byfuglien. You got Stafford on the second power play with Myers on the point. He's got 2 points in 15 games, only 19 shots, 22 and 65 last year. 6 of those came on the power play, 29 and 65 the year before that. He did have 9 even strength goals that year, 1 shorty. That's what gave us all the expectations, I suppose, that we're looking at a 10 to 15 goal scorer from the blue line every year. But the context is everything here. He's not getting the prime looks, so he just does not deserve a spot on your roster, folks. Not right now, at least. I'd have him in a minor slot in our league. I don't know if you use that in your league, but in ours we have the ability to throw guys in the minors. I'd put Trouba there.
Tuck him in the wine cellar to age for a while.
There you go. This is a get him going bomb. Chris the Tank.
Pack of black cats at you.
1 goal on 35 shots on goal. A minus 10 as well.
He's a bad Letang in my mouth.
For this file. 6 points, 4 of them coming on the power play. So 2 even strength points for Chris Letang thus far in the season.
Come on!
1 goal on 35 shots. That pretty much sucks. Let's get to some good stuff, David.
Oh, golly.
Oh, dear. What a file. There seems to be, when I look up my Patrick Kane file, there's all kinds of asterisks.
The big file got dropped.
But so we got to erase a couple of asterisks recently. So I guess this file's looking better every day. He seems to be enjoying life. 16 in 9, 6 goals on his last 30 shots, 6 points. Of those 16 and 9, 6 of them coming on the power play. If you put Patrick Kane through the HFI filter, David, he has the best one over those last 9 games in the NHL, 3.9. Just so some folks that don't know that stat that well, the HFI thing, Crosby, Ovechkin in their best days were like 3.4s, 3.5s. That's what you're looking at. If you looked at Gretzky and Lemieux in their best days, we're talking about anywhere from a 3.6 to a 3.9. Patrick Kane's rocking a 3.9 right now over his last 9 games. David, of course, driven by the stats we mentioned. Season long, we're looking at a 3.4. That is on par with anyone else. That's best, actually, through the HFI filter, the 3.4 he's rocking season-wide here. We're talking about a player who is either anywhere from a 2.2 to a 2.4 over his last 3 seasons.
And those are stellar numbers.
Well, they're great numbers. Anyone over a 2.0 is pretty much an elite player. So you know Patrick Kane is a threat to win a scoring title going in. You know that he's capable of being that 2.0, even in a down year for the Blackhawks. But this 3.9 is a ridiculous pace and best in the NHL. 23 points in 15 games, 10 goals. Having Panarin around on that line, I mean, you consider Panarin and Anisimov and Kane and what they can do in terms of skills. That's pretty devastating. Jeff Carter, the Los Angeles Kings, just rolling. But Carter, 7 goals on his last 27 shots in nine games played. 13 points. That is a 3.3 HFI. That is second best in the NHL. Only Patrick Kane currently producing at a better clip from that perspective than Carter. The 2.5 he has on the season is tied for fifth best in the NHL, on par with David Krejci, who we mentioned earlier has been lights out. Jeff Carter, when you consider that he's been a 1.7, exactly a 1.7 in the last three seasons, David, and anywhere between a 2.1 and a 2.5 in three seasons before that, with that brutal 1.5 sandwiched in between, really his low point. This guy's been a beast for a long time and a bona fide option if you consider you need a 1.7 to get onto a winning fantasy roster.
Absolutely.
Just as good a story as Jeff Carter right now, Palmieri in New Jersey, as we talked about a little bit earlier, New Jersey kind of rolling, but 10 points in 8 games, they have 4 goals on 23 shots, 6 power play points, killing it through the HFI filter, on par with Sagan, who's right there at number 3 behind Kane and Carter. Carter, 2.0 on the season now for Palmieri. That's crushing his career numbers, David. We're looking at a guy that was consistently anywhere between 0.9 and 1.9 in his previous four seasons, 1.1 on average, 12 points in 14 games already, 5 goals on 38 shots. He's a shooter. He's getting power play looks. He's getting the puck on net, and he's burying, and he's nearly at a point per game pace. Excuse me. Speaking of a point per game pace, Dale Weiss.
Weezy.
9 points in 9 games. 7 goals. Weezy's got 9-9. 7 goals on his last 25 shots. 2 power play goals. I mean, this was sort of like a novelty story when Montreal was gangbusters, but it's just happening, and the guy's paid his dues, so maybe you need to pay more attention than you have. The HFI, 2.6 over those 9 games. Tied for 10th best in the NHL, on par with Jamie Benn and Travis Zajac.
Travis
Zajac continues to roll. We told you not to sleep on it. There have been doubters all over the place because people don't believe, but in this new context,
and you don't want to believe in New Jersey, and I understand.
Yeah,
I get it.
In this new context, and speaking of New Jersey, how do we not talk about Adam Henrique? Hard to believe he's still only 25 years old, but nearly a point per game player over his last 8 games. He's got 7-8, David. 4 goals and 17 shots. What he is doing, on par with guys like Kevin Hayes, Patrice Bergeron.
There's probably a lot of New Jersey out there.
Brendan Gallagher. I mean, that's the kind of production you're looking at from Adam Henrique. Yet I know some folks are still afraid to go there. Derek Brassard, a brutal start to the season, but 7 points in his last 7, 3 goals on 15. He is a top 30 play over that time. On the season, David, a 1.5, and considering that he was a 1.5 last year, I think he's already finding his level. We're talking about a guy that's anywhere between a 1.0 and a 1.3 in the 4 seasons before this 1.5 role. So he's never really going to be a 2.0 player. I don't believe that, unless Rick Nash was supposed to go on some crazy run that brass tagged along for.
But you can have him in your bottom 6.
But is he ever worthy of a spot on a roster right now?
Yeah.
Speaking of worthiness, Doobie. Brandon Dubinsky.
Always worthy.
Trotz shows up. Here we go. Leaning on Dubinsky. He's got 8 points in his last 8 games, 3 power play points. The 2.2 HFI is a top 30 play in that time. 11 points in 15 games now. That's a 1.5 on the season if you're looking through that HFI filter, and he was a 1.5 last year. So, again, some level being found here. And he was actually a 1.5 3 times in his previous 6 seasons before these last 2. So, also, there's a 1.4 in there and a 1.3. That's what we're talking about here, a guy 1.3 to 1.5. Dubinsky finding that level. Phil Kessel, there's a file. 4 goals in his last 8 games, man. 7 points, 24 shots on goal. I mean, that pace right there is all people want. 4 goals in 8, 7 points. That's a 40-goal season from Phil Kessel in the context of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Through the HFI filter, Dave, that's a 2.1 in that time. On the season, he's now a 1.8, so that means he's earning his bona fide stripes.
You might not like him.
Oh, wow. There's a lot not to like there. Fuck Phil Kessel. He was the worst to have around. Thank God the Leafs got rid of him. People want to debate, you know, should you have kept him? Should you have gotten rid of him? He was an awful presence. You don't want that kind of sulky negativity around your club. I'm glad they said beat it. But I'm also glad that he's productive for the Pittsburgh Penguins. I thought this would be a pretty good final and a much better season for him, as most people did. I still didn't believe that it would make Sidney Crosby worthy of being the first overall pick in your league, but I thought it would benefit everybody in the Pittsburgh scene. But through that filter, 2.1 in his last eight games. On the season, he's a 1.8 now, as I said. 1.5 last year, which was just a brutal bottoming out environment for him and the Maple Leafs. In the three seasons before that, though, he was right there, 2.0 to 2.2. That's a bona fide elite number for him. So he's climbing back up to that, David, with this 1.8. But over the last couple of weeks or so, he's right back into that 2.0 to 2.2 territory and that he posted during his most successful years. So maybe we can say Phil Kessel is back.
I had the old one. He's all right.
You know who's finally arrived? And this is good news for the Edmonton Oilers fans that want to cry in their beer about Connor McDavid. It appears the new just playing like a man in Edmonton. He's an even player in his last nine games. He's got 10 points, four of them. Only four coming on the power play. He's basically, when you look at the whole stats pack, a top 40 play in that time, on par with guys like Alex Steen, Ryan O'Reilly, Jason Zucker in Minnesota, who you certainly shouldn't be sleeping on, Erickson in Boston, who we don't really want to have on our team, but we will reluctantly. The Nuge, HFI is up 3 years in a row now, David. It's happening. Him and Draisaitl can get them through this. Well, I don't know if they're going to win enough games to put them in a playoff position, but those two guys appear capable of doing a pretty good job in the absence of Connor McDavid. Victor Rask, we mentioned him earlier, basically stealing the headlines from Lindholm in Carolina, who I thought was going to be a beast for the Hurricanes this year. But Rask, just so you know what he's been, just how good it's been. 8 points in his last nine games, 27 shots on goal,
wow,
three power play assists. He had 1 point in his first five games played, so it's all happening lately. And obviously the 1.4 HFI that looks the whole season is on its way up to 1.7 territory, and he's posted in his last nine games a 2.1. That's top 40 numbers. So if you're sleeping on Victor Rask, shame on you. Get out there and pick him up.
Shame.
A shame. Feel the shame. 2 minutes for looking so good. Thomas Fleischmann. You got him still? You didn't drop him already, did you?
No, there he is right there. Fleischmann's
you
right
still
there.
Got Fleischmann.
I saw Thomas Fleischmann.
Well, he must be happy, David. 8 points in his last nine games, a plus seven. That's kind of ridiculous. On par with Justin Williams, who's also having a good time in Washington, a guy that could now win another cup. That's a good career, Justin Williams. Fleischmann on the season, a 1.5, but an 8.9, or 8 points in his last nine games, driving a much better 1.8 in that time. He was not even at 1.0 or higher in his last two seasons, but in the four seasons before that awful run, he was, in fact, a 1.5, four consecutive seasons. So, with Fleischmann in the context of the Montreal Canadiens and posting a 1.5 so far, maybe we're back to the best Fleischmann.
The bestest Fleischmann we could possibly hope for.
The bestest Fleischmann you could have. Another file that appears back to being its best is the Jerome Iginla one.
My mom likes Jerome Iginla.
Wow.
Whose mom doesn't?
That's exactly. Whose mom isn't going to like Jerome Iginla? Very well put.
She'll be
David.
Happy to know that you're picking him up in the pool.
29 shots on goal in his last nine. 8 points, four goals. Top 60 HFI in that time, David. So after that brutal start, this file's looking pretty good. How good? Well, that's a relative conversation, of course. The 1.5 HFI on the season is exactly the same number he put up last season, which was his worst HFI since his rookie season. And I'm no esthetician, but I believe there were a lot of seasons between the rookie one and this most current one.
I believe you're correct. Correct.
But he is still a 25 to 30 goal guy. He's proven that right now. So hats off to Jerome again.
Oh, Jerome. You know, Sydney wouldn't have got that goal if it wasn't for Jerome.
Let's move on to some blue liners. The point per gamers since mid-October are... Any guesses?
Tell me.
You want to guess? Let's put Dave on the spot here. We're looking at point per... Stop leaning at my notes. We're looking at point per game defensemen since October 14th. I will tell you that there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them.
Carlson.
No. Family Feud rules, by the way. Watch Family Feud. Next guess. Three strikes and you're out.
Suter. Drew Doughty.
Okay, so you're done. So now my family gets to steal. I only have two of them with one note. And I have the notes. Brent Seabrook. Colton Parayko. Just continuing.
Correct.
His ridiculous first tour of NHL duty. Klingberg.
No, I didn't have
him. You never heard of him?
I've heard of him.
You don't. PK, Subban, and Markov. There's your five. Siebes, Parayko, Klingberg, Subban, and Markov. Point per game defenseman since mid-October. Props to y'all and the folks that have them on their roster. Honorable mention, too, and the file that, as we said earlier, you don't want to sleep on this week because they got four games. Morgan Rielly, 8 points in his last nine. Also honorable mention to Doughty and Burns. You said Doughty. Doughty's got 8 and 9. Burns, 7 in his last 8. Doughty's got 1 goal in his last 28 shots. Burns has got 36 shots on goal in his last 8 games.
I was watching him the other night. The guy's ridiculous. He's in front of the net all the time.
Amazing.
And he's the first one back. He's amazing.
And both of them only 2 power play points in that time. All of the aforementioned defensemen, Siebes, Parayko, Klingberg, Subban, Markov, Rielly, you could even go Barry, Carlson, Pietrangelo, Miller, Byfuglien, Doughty, Burns, all of them 1.7 or better HFIs.
If any of those are available, pick them up.
October 14th. Another honorable mention, I guess we could throw out to Jared Spurgeon, 7 points in his last 8.
Like Spurgeon.
3 power play points. Oh, that's terrible.
Thank you.
2 goals, but God bless you, David. Whatever God means to you. 2 goals on 14 for Jared Spurgeon, a minus 5. That's a bit concerning, but the 1.6 HFI for him is a top 20 play in those last 8 games, so you could be doing worse than Jared Spurgeon.
You could.
And if you're in a points-only league, well, you're loving that file right now, especially considering that he had 0 fucking points in his first 5 games played, so you were sweating the Spurgeon file beginning of the year.
Under the radar, one might say.
Yes. Adds up to a 1.0 HFI on the season, 13 games played. He had a 1.0 in his 3 previous seasons, over 172 games played, putting up 66 points in that time. So this 1.0, he's found maybe exactly what we should expect from him in terms of a season-wide perspective, David. But over the last little while, he is not that. He is a bona fide option, or at least on the verge of becoming one.
So if you like taking those little chances and try and go for the extra points.
There you go.
There you go.
I guess you could also file Kevin Connaughton into that department. Columbus Blue Jacket defenseman getting third pairing looks with Tuten, second power play looks with Ryan Murray. He's actually got 3 points in his last 5 games, David, and a couple of them on the power play after 0 points in his first 4 games played. He was a third round pick by Vancouver back in 2009. 19 in 54 last year with Columbus after a couple in 8 with Dallas. If you want to dig further into this file, we're looking at a player that had 72 and 69 in his last WHL season, 24 goals that year, an offensive player for, or in that context. In the context of the AHL, 221 games played, 33 goals, 88 points. In 107 NHL games, we're looking at 10 goals, 32 points. But, as mentioned, second power play looks right now on a team that seems to be doing something with Torts at the helm.
I still have faith in those guys.
You do, hey?
Well, I'm still sitting on Brandon Saad.
Brandon Saad. Oh, so you're holding that hope that he becomes...
Brandon Saad?
Brandon Saad. Well, that's a tough one. My friend Boomer Gordon, some folks might know him. He predicted at the end of last year, I suppose once we knew that Saad was a Blue Jacket, that it would be a tough go for him. And it's been a tough go for him and all of them in Columbus early. But maybe in this new situation, he's a guy that get back to meeting expectations. I don't know what those expectations really should be, to be honest with you, David.
No, it's a really weird situation going on there.
Okay, well, that's us. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you had a good week last week. I hope you have a good week this week. Sorry we couldn't be here today with our producer, Neva Chow. She is off working her butt off somewhere. I'm not sure exactly. Where is she?
She's living the high life in Barrie.
The high life in Barrie, Ontario.
Gateway to the north.
Go get him, Neve. On behalf of Neva Chow, David Conway, and myself, see you next week.